The Holy Gospel according to St. John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
And Jesus said, "No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." The Gospel of the Lord. Dear friends, grace and peace be to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ.
Amen.
Well, I'm back. After 2 months. Oh, thank you. Anyway. No, it's been an absolute, I've been missing all of y'all these past 2 months. And first of all, I want to say thank you for allowing myself and our family to take a 2 month break to just rest, renew, and recharge for the last 2 months. I got to travel, as some of y'all have seen on Facebook. I got to catch up on my adult projects, as Lindsay likes to call them, around the house. And I got to read books that were piling up on my office desk, and not my desk here, but my desk at home. So, more details of all those sabbatical goodies at September 17th Sunday Forum. But of all these books that I got to read, and I got to read a lot of books on theology, youth ministry, faith formation, comic book culture and theology, some of the most important time that I got to spend is reading childhood classic stories that were passed down from my mom. And this was always fun to do this in between my trips and the kids' summer camps, and it was just a delight to be kind of in the different reverse of being the parent reading to the child. And so one of those classics I would like for us to highlight today, if you will, is from Shel Silverstein's The Giving Tree. And for those families that are in the playgrounds, there's a copy of that book if you'd like to follow along. The tree gives the little boy her apples to pick and her branches to climb. The boy and the tree love each other and are happy in their life together. And as the boy grew older, however, his interest in the tree became less. The tree is very lonely until one day the boy returns as a young man. The tree offers her apples and branches, but the boy claims that he is too old to climb and play. He's more interested in money. "Can't you give me money?" he asks the tree. "No, but the boy, you can take my apples and sell them," suggests the tree. "Then he will be happy." The boy does this, and the tree is happy. Years later, the boy returns. The tree is overwhelmed with joy as she invites the boy to swing from her branches. But the boy is too busy to play. What he really wants is his own family and a house to keep him warm. "Can you give me a house?" "No," says the tree, "but the boy, please cut my branches and build a house with them," suggests the tree, "and you could be happy." The boy does this, and the tree is happy. Many years pass before the boy, now a middle-aged man, returns. The tree, overjoyed, invites the boy to play. But now the boy is too old to play, and all he wants is a boat to which to take him off to far places. "Can you give me a boat?" The tree invites the boy to cut down her trunk and make a boat so that he can be happy. The boy does this, and the tree is happy, but not really, for now this tree is only a bare stump. When years late the boy returns, he is hunched over, an old man. The tree apologizes for not having nothing to offer any longer, no apples to eat or branches to climb, only an old stump. But the old man says his teeth are too weak for apples. He is too old to climb. All he needs is a quiet place to sit and rest, for he is very tired. Well, says the tree, straightening herself up as much as she can, an old stump is good for sitting and resting. Come, boy, sit down and rest. And the boy does, and the tree is very happy. A nice story to hear. Always puts a chill down my spine when I read it. This is a sign of a very good giving tree. It gave and gave. Even when it was only a stump, it still continued to give. What a concept, this giving tree. But this apple tree in this book is not the only giving tree that we know of, dear friends. The cross of Christ was also another giving tree, where Christ sacrificed himself for the sins of the world. Christ continues to still give in and out day after day to those who want to receive new life, forgiveness, and freedom. Our gospel lesson says, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." And we hear this, but I wonder what other giving trees we have in our life. And I remember on our Labor Day weekend trip to Fredericksburg, I got a chance to go to my godfather's church at Holy Ghost Lutheran Church in Fredericksburg. And it's interesting because they're now in the process of remodeling, so all their banners from their nave are in their parish hall, and they're worshiping in their parish hall. For some of us, we remember those times when we had to do that, dear friends. But what was interesting was one banner that said, "The crib and the cross were both made of wood." God gave through a tree at both times. A tree was used to make a manger to bring the Christ child into this world, and a cross from a tree that was to take this Christ, this Messiah of the world. The cross, the symbol of death, came to be a symbol of life, a symbol of giving, and a symbol of sacrifice, of true and gracious love for you, for me, and for all. And as you gaze at the cross before you, I wonder, do you see this as a symbol of life for you now? God was, and is, and continues to be the great architect who designs bridges for our freedom. But God not only designs it, God builds it and uses it out of materials that we would not think is possible. Yes, in the past, God built it out of a cross, and with the body and blood of his Son, God didn't ask anyone else to do this work, and God shared the completed work with all people who would believe that he did the work, but shared it with all who would believe that the work was done for them. Yes, God used the rugged cross to build a bridge between God's self and us. As John says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son." God was willing to sacrifice part of God's self so that you and I could be liberated from the chains of death, so that you and I wouldn't be prisoners anymore, and that we might be freed people with freedom to share that unconditional love to the world. Jesus took our place. He's taking that place which he doesn't deserve, that which isn't his, our selfishness. And in return, he is giving us a new life, a life that sets us free, free from the power of sin, free from death. And in that freedom, we will then have to choose what we do with it. We will have the opportunity to live with God forever. The old rugged cross is a place where we obtain our freedom, where Christ exchanges our life for his, and in the process, we are liberated people to go and live. As today we rally together, kicking off our programs on this Holy Cross Sunday, I invite you all now to come to the cross of Christ this year and be a giving tree to others. Listen to where God is calling you to share your love and your unique talents. And as you give and give your apples, your branches, your trunk, remember that you are planted firmly in the good soil that is of Christ. For it is in Christ we are nourished, We are cared for, and we get plenty of rain, and gives us rest during the busy times ahead. Amen.